enjoyed this meeting thus far. I appreciate everyone that has preached. It's been wonderful. And I'm also very grateful that my church has come out here in this meeting, around 90. I was glad to hear on the bus coming up here, they got to singing and worshiping God, praying, speaking in tongues. We had chartered a bus, and I believe the bus driver was, he wasn't from our church, and he was touched as well. I just appreciate my church for being here. And I'm very, very thankful for the glory of God I've experienced in this meeting. And I'm looking for the Lord to come by and help us again. I want to read from Revelation chapter 6, if you would like to turn there in your Bibles. I appreciate the message of the Trinity. All true doctrine comes and issues from God. If you can't get God right, you won't get anything else right. If the spirit you have doesn't tell you the truth about God, it's a lying spirit. You'll get all the other doctrines wrong if you get God wrong. And not only that, the coming of the Lord in heaven is so important because it speaks to us of the great governing of God and the greatness of God and how that too must issue forth in all the truth that we believe and receive. And as we see and start with God and come to the fact of heaven and Jesus is soon coming for the church, we must also come down from the glories of heaven, not just to this place called earth. As beautiful as earth is, the heavens declare the glory of God here. And there is the glory of God in heaven. As beautiful as it is, it's not a perfect beauty because it's been stained with sin. If we were just to come down from the glories of heaven down to this world, what a disappointment it would be. But I must not just bring you there. We've got to look a little bit at sin and the way that sin has trashed this world. The lives that it's ruined, the families it's destroyed, the wars that it's caused, the death and the sickness and the pain and the sorrow. It's a horror. It's a fear. But at the same time, we're not just descending from the glory of the coming of the Lord to the horrors of sin in this world. We must go lower. Today, we must go down into a place that is the ultimate result of sin. In Revelation chapter 6, there's a series of judgments that's let loose upon this earth. And verse 8 says, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, with the beast of the earth." I want to preach from this on hell followed, or hell is on the loose. Hell is on the loose. John saw a future punishment that was going to come to this world. Just as sure as Jesus is coming, I assure you, that there are judgments that are coming to this earth that are mind-boggling. In this one judgment, death is turned loose upon the earth, and death takes one out of every four people that's living at that time. And they do not die just a natural death. They do not fall asleep and go peacefully. No, it's a tragic death. Some of it is a pestilence and plague and certain diseases that we do not even know anything about now. But it will be loosed in that time. Then there will be wars where that people and dictators will clash and whole cities will be turned into tombs as people are slain in the most horrid ways. There will be starvation and hunger, folks dying slowly, a painful death, and finally giving up. But then even the beasts of the earth will lose their natural fear of men. And even domesticated animals will lose their love and loyalty to men. And they will take the lives of people. Those coyotes that seem to be more afraid of man than a rabbit. I'm telling you, those coyotes will be ravenous one day. Those cattle and horses that follow people to feed will one day become a very treacherous and horrific herd trampling the lives of people out. Those dogs that befriend will turn on their masters. Let me tell you right now, there's coming a day when death is going to be on the loose. But the most fearful thing for these people is not the fact that death comes in a horrible way. It is not the fact that death comes in a sad way, in a terrifying way. But hell follows. And whatever they experience before they die is nothing compared to what they see right after they draw their last breath. Because hell follows. There is something we have in common with these people. Death follows every one of us. Some people will escape death by the sound of the trumpet blast. But even us Christians can be overtaken by death. Though we do not feel the sting of death, death follows us all, young and old. But hell does not follow every one of us. Some of us are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Some of us are saved. But I fear that there are many right here under the sound of my voice. You may be a church member. You may sing in your youth choir. You may have some very good qualities, but you know the secrets of your soul. There are others that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if the trumpet sounded or if death overtook you, hell follows. Hell is on the loose. And if for some reason here in this place that death overtook, hell would overtake, then people would be destroyed forever. As fearful as death is, hell is much more fearful. Death and hell is on the loose. I remember when I was just a boy, death came close. I was sitting in a service with my buddies, just like you boys, right there on the front row. Only I was in the back. I was talking. I was playing, passing notes. We wasn't paying a bit of attention to what was going on. And then a lady stood up and testified on a Sunday morning. She had tears streaming down her face. I'll never forget it. And she said, "I'm so sorry to hear about that poor boy that died in a car accident last night." And she called his name. All of a sudden, it was as if you punched all of us boys in the stomach. We bowed over double. Tears came to our eyes. I looked over at my cousin. Did she say? Yeah. Did he go to heaven? No. For you see, death came close, but hell followed. Hell. We could feel hell right there. When I was just a young preacher, I preached a revival. And a young person that I went to high school with came out and heard me. When I saw him show up, God spoke to me and told me to tell him something while I was preaching. He said, "When I tell you, you tell them if they don't follow the way they know, they'll die in confusion." Looking back, I can't hardly believe I obeyed the Lord. But at a certain time in my message, God spoke to me and said, "Tell them now." And I told, but they didn't pray. 15 years later, somebody that was in that service came to my church and said, "Did you hear about so-and-so dying?" Said, "We remember that night that you prophesied and told them if they didn't follow the way they knew, they would die in confusion." Said, "That's exactly the way they died, hearing voices talking about hell. Going to hell. Oh God." Death was close, but hell followed. And I'm here today to tell you that hell is on the loose at the Pentecostal fire youth conference. For every lukewarm and indifferent and hard-hearted, for every hypocrite, for everyone that's rebellious, for everyone that does not follow God, you do not have mercy and goodness following you. You have death and hell following you. Oh, I want goodness and mercy following me all the days of my life so that I could dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You say, why? Why is hell on the loose? I have to say that mankind turned hell loose. You see, God created hell for the devil and his angels. The rebellion and the resurgence that hell, amen, is experienced in the devil is shown in what horrors there is in hell. The hell that was in the sin of the devil was shown in the hell that God built, amen, for the devil and his angels. But I also want to tell you, when man turned from God, that same thing that was loosed upon Satan must likewise be loosed upon everyone that turns against God. In Revelation, we do not start with death and hell on the loose. We start with a glorious revelation of Jesus Christ and all of His glory. Then I want to tell you the most fearful thing in the universe. As you read the book of Revelation, there's a lot of fearful, terrifying things. But I want to tell you, this man of God, John, the beloved disciple, forgiven of his sins, a holy man of God, a man of prayer. He did not fall when he saw death. He did not faint when he saw hell. The rise of the Antichrist, the lake of fire, amen, people dying by war and famine and pestilence did not cause him to fall upon his face. But when he saw the all-holy Christ in all of his glory, he fell on his face like a dead man. Let me tell you why hell is on the loose. First of all, God is a holy God, and man does not reverence God as a holy God. Every doctrine in the Bible issues from the fact that God is holy. And if you get that wrong, you'll compromise on anything, including the gospel. You'll compromise on your life. You'll compromise on your relationships. You'll compromise on sin. You'll even compromise on an eternal hell. For we must see God first high and lifted up in all of His glory to properly define sin, to properly understand how bad sin is. We must understand how holy God is. And the reason there is a hell is because there's an all-holy Christ. And the most fearful, awesome thing in the universe is going to be standing before Him one day in judgment. Hell is on the loose because man has refused the holiness of God. Hell is on the loose, secondly, if you'll look in Revelation chapter 4, where that the very throne room of God is talked about. Those about the throne and speaking of the governance of God begin to praise God first of all. What do they say? Thou hast created all things, and for thy glory they are and were created. You see, there's another reason hell is on the loose. Man rebelled against the authority of God. Amen. Man rebelled against God's authority. He turned away. Now, every government has authority to make laws. And if they do not punish the lawbreakers, that law that is broken is also a testimony of the right of the governors to govern. Amen. If they allow for rebellion, then I say to you, they will one day fall into anarchy. And in the same way, God has the right to rule, not because He was elected, not because He had the most powerful army, but because every bit of life comes from Him and Him alone. He has authority by the fact He owns every bit, amen, of space dust floating through this universe. It was all made by Him. You have breath given Him, given by Him, a heartbeat given by Him. He has the right to rule. He has the right to make laws. in accordance with his nature. And when people rebel against his authority to govern, he is likewise rebelling against the very nature of God. And every bit of sin is not just a little bit of rebellion. It is an assassination attempt upon the holiness of God. You say, Brother Lloyd, I don't believe sin's nature is that ravenous. Take a look at the cross, and I know it's a picture of God's love, but it's also a picture of what sin will do with God if they ever got a hold of him. They'd crucify him. They'd seal him in a tomb. They'd put him away forever. God has to deal with it. You say, why is it forever, Brother Lloyd? Amen. Even our own governors understand that just because that a crime does not take long does not mean that the sentence should not be a lifetime. You see, the fact is, when somebody murders a person, it may take a few minutes or a few hours. Amen. Even days if they planned it. But the fact is, they're worthy of death or they're worthy of life in prison. You see, God has that same understanding. It is the nature of sin that is so antagonistic to his own holy nature that absolutely makes it necessary for there to be an eternal punishment, an everlasting fire, amen, a never-ending suffering, a dying that never dies, a destruction that is never destroyed, a suffering that never has comfort, an absolute, total, terrifying torment that never has a hope of ending. Hell follows. Amen. Because man let hell loose. Oh, hell is on the loose. Because thirdly, man rejected God's love. In Revelation chapter 5, they continue on. Amen. To praise in the throne room of heaven. And how does the praise go? Thou hast redeemed us from every tongue, kindred tongue and nation by thy blood. You see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the reason hell is on the loose is because man rejects God's love. Amen. I've heard people say, well, God loves so much. My God loves so much. And he's so gracious and so merciful. He wouldn't send anybody to hell. Let me tell you, your God that you have is not a perfect God. You talk about the perfections of love and grace. It's not perfect if he cannot mean what he says. If he threatens with hell and doesn't mean it, he's a liar. If he threatens with hell just to try to scare you to do better, he's a fear-mongering God. And I'm telling you, he doesn't really love you. You say, well, he's perfect in love. No, listen. Really what it is, you take a look at the cross and you take a look at his love. And you say, that's not enough for him to love me so much. He gave his son to pay the price for my sin, redeem me from my sins, and make a way where I can live holy. It's not enough. I got to be able to live the way I choose, and God still love me. I got to be able to break the laws, and God still love me. And in the end, there still be no hell for me. I do not look at grace. This is what you say. I do not look at grace as something that's unmerited. I deserve it. I deserve mercy. I deserve love. Let me tell you, you deserve hell. That's what you deserve. Amen. That's what I deserve. But thank God for his unmerited favor. Amen. Displayed in the cross of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something, friend. If you rebel against God's laws, if you reject God's holiness, and if you refuse God's love, there is nothing left for you but hell forever. A never-ending hell. Amen. And hell is on the loose here tonight. Amen. Hell follows. Amen. What if it overtakes? If there was a sexual predator around here, if there was a rapist around here, if there was a terrorist around here, and you saw him following, what would you do? Oh, you'd take means of safety. But what about this? Hell follows. Oh, I hope the Lord will help me. I love you so much. I love you so much here today. Listen to me.
If hell follows, and he does follow, what happens? If he overtakes, what happens? Jesus Christ, who preached more on hell than any other preacher in the Bible, of the 1,870 verses that's mentioned of his teaching and preaching, 13% of it is on hell or judgment. And that is the number one subject that Jesus preached on. Of the 40 parables that Jesus told, 20 of them had to do with judgment and hell and weeping and gnashing of teeth and eternal fire. Amen. Well, if you loved us, Brother Lloyd, you wouldn't preach on hellfire. I have a feeling if I preach more like Jesus, I preach a whole lot more on hellfire. Amen. Here, the Son of God. I just don't believe it. Well, there's more warnings in the Bible about hell than just about anything else. In fact, one preacher said, there are just as many warnings on hell as there are chapters in the Bible. You do away with hell, amen, you do away with every chapter of the Bible. Amen, you do away with hell, you might as well forget God. Amen, you put a question mark on part of the Scripture, you put a question mark on all of it. Hey, well, I believe he loves me. Wait a second here. How do you know he loves me? Well, the Bible tells me so. Well, give me a scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So, you believe that? You believe he loves you? Yes. You believe he gave his Son? Yes. Do you have a question mark over perish? Because if you have a question mark over perish, then you have to question everlasting life. If you don't believe perish, you don't believe whosoever, and you don't believe believeth, and you don't believe in God. Amen. Not the God of this Bible. Amen. So what happens? What happens when hell comes? I tell you that there are such unimaginable torments that comes upon people. And when Jesus preached on that rich man in Lazarus, he said that rich man awoke in hell being in torments. Amen. Torments came upon him all at once. Amen. It was not an introduction to this one and an introduction to this one. And a little while later, no, they jumped on him like those beasts are going to jump on people someday. In the book of Revelation, there is a viciousness, a savagery here. Amen. All at once, he's tormented in the flame. All at once, he's athirst. Somebody said, well, I don't know if it's a literal fire or not. There's one famous preacher told that to a group of reporters. And a reporter asked him a question. He said, is there such a thing as non-literal fire? C.H. Spurgeon said, I believe in a literal fire just like I believe in a literal hand and foot and eye and a tongue that wants water. Amen. The Bible tells us that just like saints get resurrected bodies. Now, your soul's indestructible. You understand that? Amen. But there will come a time when even sinners get a body that is a vessel of wrath fitted for destruction. It is ready to absorb every bit of punishment that there is in hell and feel the fire without ever being consumed. Feel the thirst without ever dying of thirst. Amen. God will prepare those that go to hell to be able to take the torments of hell just like he fits the saints to be able to enjoy the blessings of heaven. Hey, Lord, help me here today. Amen. As you see this fire, I believe again that it's literal, but if for the sake of argument we give in and say, all right, you win, it's a non-literal fire. You have not made hell any less of a place of torment. In fact, you may have made it worse than what Jesus preached. Because you see, everything that's a type in the Bible is strengthened. It's just a weak picture of what it really is. Let me tell you, one half a drop of Jesus' blood has more power to save the world than all the blood of bulls and goats that was shed in the Old Testament. That was just a type. That was just a symbol. That was just something to teach us what Jesus' blood could do. And if the fire and the worm and all of this other stuff is only a type, then I have no idea, amen, what it's going to be like when it's real. You have not lessened hell, my friend. You have strengthened hell. You made it worse than what we can imagine. Amen. The fires of this world, the fires in the belly of this earth. Amen. When volcanoes erupted, there was one that erupted in 1992. They estimated it was 1,000 Celsius. And if I converted it right, I figure it was 1,872 degrees Fahrenheit. Hot enough to melt hardened steel in 10 seconds. It's just a little lighter here. You light your little things. Hey, man, you can't even see the flame in this light. But I guarantee if you put your hand right there, you would feel the flame. If I could say this to everyone here, there's not a person here for $500 would let me hold this on your hand for 10 minutes. You wouldn't let it. Now, I don't know if it's a literal fire, but I do know this. Jesus said, if your right hand offends you, amen, and hinders you some way from going to heaven, you'd better get rid of it. Cut it off. Cast it from you. If your foot offends you, cut it off. Cast it from you. If your eyes, amen, somehow offend you, plug it out. Cast it from you. Because it'd be better to enter into eternal life, amen, halt and maimed and blind, than it would be for this hand to be burning in fire forever. These eyes, amen, to be licked with the flames forever. This foot, amen, to endure the fires of hell forever. I take no pleasure in informing you of this unless somebody gets saved. Because hell follows. Hell follows. Amen. The degrees of boiling temperature. A boiling water is just what? 212 degrees. If that boiling water was thrown all over you, you'd be taken to the burn center. They would scrape your body. They would. And I've been to the burn center where people were crying. Oh, what a horrible thing. That's not all. These are some of the physical things. Listen, I got a little bottle of water. A little bottle. I don't know what it'd sell for. 50 cents? 25? Anybody so thirsty they'd want to buy my little bottle of water here? There it is. You realize if a king just died and went to hell, I could get a whole kingdom for this little bottle of water. If a billionaire went to hell 10 seconds after he was in hell, I could get every penny he has, every bit of the land he owns. I'd own every business if I could give him this one little bitty bottle of water. Amen. There's darkness in hell. A darkness you can feel. Have you ever been scared at the dark? And yet the screeches of demons, the sounds of those people in hell crying out for mercy, and there is no mercy. Amen. Crying out for help, and there is no help. What about the darkness? What about no rest in hell? My knees been bothering me. Night before last, I rolled in the bed thinking about this, but also my knee would wake me up. I'd doze off, and I'd wake up, and my knee would be hurting me. And I'll tell you, it's miserable, and I hate to complain, but it was miserable spending a rolling night in my bed. Can I tell you, there are people in hell that have been rolling in coals of fire, amen, for thousands of years, and they have no rest. They don't doze off. There is no rest in hell. There's no dozing off in hell. There's no sleep in hell. You don't get over, amen, your tiredness, your weariness in hell. There's not a moment where you can dream of the sunshine and you can think about what it was like. It's almost like you're there around Christmas time. It's all gone. Anything you remember adds to the burden of your regret because there's emotional strains in hell. Amen. There's a loneliness about hell. People have endured stress and strain because they knew somebody loved them. People have endured sickness and pain because of the people that was there with them, caressing them, holding them. Amen. Speaking to them. We love you, Mama. We'll hang on in there, Mama. Come on. Come on now, honey. Mama loves you. You can make it through this. How many have came out of the sick bed because somebody held their hand and loved them? Amen. And comforted them when they's crying and weeping. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be no hugs and kisses in hell. Amen. If your boy goes to hell and you let him there, he'll hate you. And if your mom and dad goes to hell, amen, and you didn't tell them about heaven and about Jesus, they'll hate you. Amen. There's no love in hell. You know why? Because God doesn't allow people to love in hell. I'm going to get to this just a little bit later. Every pleasure that even sinners enjoy in this world is somewhat given by God. The rain falls on the good farmer and the bad farmer. And God gave them both rain because he loves them both. And I'm going to tell you, in hell, there's no good thing in hell. God withholds all good things. There's no joy in hell. I was preaching on Kent State University. Amen. And a girl screamed out while I was preaching. And she said, "We're going to go to hell. Amen. Have the biggest party you ever seen." I said, "Listen to me. If you go to hell, there's going to be no parties. And I do not in any wise want you to party here. But if you've got your mind made up to go to hell, you'd better do all your partying on this side of death, because when hell follows you after death, there's not even a drop of water to cool your tongue." Oh, God. The emotional strain. No hope. How many have made it through a PLO camp? Or maybe even the terrors of the Holocaust, because they had the hope that somebody was going to rescue them. But on that gate, there's that sign: "All that enter here give up hope and embrace despair forever." No hope, no friendship, no love, no sunsets, no springtime. No sweet smells, no music, none. No altar calls, plenty of preaching, rolling in your memory. Guilt, 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 guilt. Fear, 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 fear. The presence of demons, the presence of the darkness of this world, and no restraint of God. I realize this is a horrible world in a lot of ways. But the only reason that we have as good and orderly a world as we have is because God restrains evil now. There's no restraint in hell. There's no gifts in hell. And when hell follows and hell stalks, and hell overtakes, in a moment's time, people are lost forever, and torments are on them forever. Brother Ralph Lowry, when he was backslid for a little time, slew his own brother. Oh, you've probably heard him tell it, and he is so tormented about that. Sometimes he goes to the grave of his brother and apologizes to the grave. He tormented. At one time, Brother Ralph told me he preached on that scripture where Jesus was preaching, "Son, remember." And he preached on lost in a memory world, where everything good is a memory, but you also remember all the bad things. You remember all the times you rejected Jesus. You remember lost in a world of regrets, lost never to be able to make amends, not a hope of an altar call, not a hope of a time to pray, not a hope of conviction, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, help me, Lord, right here. What happens? Who will be overtaken while hell is on the loose? Of course, Satan and all the demons will eventually one day be overtaken, and they will get their just reward for their rebellion and their rejection. But let me tell you, only mankind. Now, Satan rebelled against God's holiness and rejected his authority, but he did not reject God's love in that sense. But we have rejected the compassionate love and God's mercy and God's grace. I say to you that we have even sinned even in a deeper way. For we reject Calvary when we go to hell. You say, "Brother Lloyd, how do we get there? You choose to go." And no, I'm not choosing to go. Oh, yes, you do. When you reject God, you choose to go. Amen. In the end, C.S. Lewis said, there are only two types of people. Those that look at God and say, "Thy will be done." And those to whom God looks at and says, "Thy will be done." And they go on to hell. Let me preach to you just a little while longer. Amen. And I'm coming to a close. Amen. You see, there are all kinds of people in hell. Multiplied billions, probably by the time it's all over, will be in hell screaming. Who will go to hell? And the Bible says the fearful. Those too afraid to make a stand. Those too afraid to make a break. Amen. Those too afraid to embrace what God says in His holy word. Those too afraid to walk down to the altar and lift up God. Those too afraid to break up with that boyfriend. Those too afraid to be made fun of at school. Those too afraid of what your family's going to say. Amen. Those too afraid will find themselves one day overtaken in hell. Amen. Those too afraid. Amen. Then it says the unbelieving, those that don't believe in God, or those that believe in God but don't believe in hell. Amen. Or those, amen, that say, "I believe in God and I believe in hell, but I can believe I'm going to get away with whatever I plan on getting away with." Oh God. Amen. Unbelievers in hell, and none of them want you to come. Listen, if you could hear the screeches of those that were already doomed. You know, I don't know what to say. The truth is, I'm fearful here today of your soul, because hell is such an awful issue, we can't grasp it. And so it's hard to get a hold of it. But we live in a world with violent video games and movies and entertainment that so desensitized people. Horror movies that go way beyond. There was a time when a preacher spoke about going to hell with demons. Now, amen, there's whole books about demons and games about demons and all kinds of stuff, amen, about vampires. We live in a weird world where folks embrace the darkness of this world because they love it. Amen. And here they go. Amen. They're desensitized by it. This is what I fear. Amen. Because there are people being followed by death and followed by hell and don't realize how this ravenous, horribly wicked thing is on the loose. And they're not a bit afraid. They're planning on leaving this service lost. They're planning on going back lukewarm. They're planning on waiting till another time. Yeah. Just like that one girl that told that one preacher that I heard. She said, I've got a gown, prettiest gown in town. I'm going to dance under bright lights this Friday night. I'll pray next Sunday. When he came back through, what about that pretty little girl? They said she went insane, whatever reason, after that prom. They said she screams and wrings her hands now. I have a gown! Where's God? There are going to be a lot of people in hell that say, I had a big party, but no God. But where's God? I know what it's like to drink and drug. Amen. But where's God? I made money. But where's God? Amen. I went to church. I had a reputation. But no God. Hell don't want you. Hell don't want you. Nobody in hell wants you to come to hell. They'd scream and holler if they could right here in this service. They'd scream and holler right here in this service. To try to influence you not to come to hell. Brother Larry, I've got a recording. In all reality, the youth choir at Fairland made this a few years ago. Prayed and sought God to kind of feel the burden of what it would be like for people in hell screaming and crying out. Brother, would you play that just a second here? If you've got it queued up. Hey man, this is to me. They've got it. Was in that group, Brother Stacy. About 50 people. Do you hear this? They got anointed, Brother Stacy. Did y'all get anointed doing this? Did you feel the burden of it all? Oh, they got anointed. It was God putting it in their heart in this way. They prayed and sought the Lord before they did this. I'm not making any pretense. This is not some recording from hell. This came from a church, Fairland Holiness Church, and not one of them young people was feeling the fire of hell. And there's only about 50 of them screaming and crying. Turn it up just a little bit. Do you understand that there are millions and billions of people that's going to be there? And they're not.
Lord, I'm tormented in this flame.
They're not just feeling the burden of it like that youth group was. They feel the flames of it. Oh, oh, here today, if you listen to my passionate heart, don't harden your heart against this. Don't push God away. Don't turn a deaf ear. There's a God in heaven that gave his only begotten son, amen, to pay the price, amen, that you cannot pay. You go to hell, you'll be there forever and ever, and never able to pay the price, never able to pay the price for one sin you committed. But Jesus paid the full price for all. Whosoever. You can be saved. You can be saved. I want my wife to be coming and getting ready. Amen. It scares me because we live in a world that don't feel. It scares me because we live in a group of people that's so lukewarm and indifferent. They don't feel. The most frightening thing about this church service is the fact that I could preach about hell, something that I have spent hours thinking and praying and tormented myself because of all the hours I've spent thinking about hell. And yet at the same time, though hell be stalking some right here today, some are planning on leaving. Some are fighting and resisting. If you here this day feel the least bit troubled about your own soul and your own eternity, I beg you to come to this altar and get things right with God. Joe Holden, I saw him just a little while ago. He's right up here. Hey man, a year and about a half ago at our camp meeting, Brother Kevin Lloyd preached a message. And I believe Joe testified the other night and he said, you know, I wasn't feeling conviction like I had in times past. Isn't it something like that? He said, well, I'm just not feeling it like I have. And Brother Kevin said something along the line, if you feel the least bit of something pulling on your heart, come to this altar. And Brother Joe came up to the altar on the little bit that he felt. And he got saved, and he's been saved a year and a few months now. Glory be to God. Let me tell you, I don't think any of us feel like what we ought to. I'll tell you, if you feel the least bit, you need to come. Amen. Could we all stand here this afternoon? I went to youth camp in 1978 thinking I was saved. I didn't cuss. I didn't do a whole lot of stuff. Amen. I went through the youth camp watching my friends worship God, shouting, speaking in tongues. I even tried to get in like them, but it wasn't. There's something wrong in my soul. And on Wednesday night, the preacher preaching the night service got on my rock and roll. I began to realize I had sin in my heart. Wicked, ungodly sin. Horrible sin. Then on Thursday morning, Brother Joy Height preached on hell. And I'll never forget him as he went through those motions as if it were someone that, oh, why are you here? Didn't you hear about me? I'm Lot's wife. Why are you here? Why didn't you turn to the Lord? Why are you here? Someone else said, I'm Judas Iscariot. I came to the altar. I realized why I couldn't get in. I had too much sin. I was lukewarm, indifferent, and ungodly in my soul. I was away from God. Hey man, listen. They want me to preach on hell. And I got to praying about it, and God wants me to preach on hell. Oh, it's God, because He wants to prepare you and get some of you ready where you can shout the victory and go home revived with the power of God. But you're not ready yet. How many here today? Bow your heads just a moment. Would you plead with God? If you're really ready with God, would you plead with God and give some young people the boldness to step out and come up here right now? Here's a young man right up here on his face already. Is there somebody else that would come up here and say, I need God today. Come quickly. Come right now. If you've got a question mark over your experience with God, you need to be coming to this altar. You need to be coming to this altar. You need to be coming right now. Amen. If you're lukewarm and indifferent, would you come? Oh, yes. Amen. Would you come? I appreciate that. I see some coming up here. God bless you, young people. You don't have to be young. I appreciate you coming. The Lord's going to save some souls here. In fact, there's some people right near you. If you'd step out, there'd be others step out. Oh, where will you be? I appreciate it. Appreciate you young men, young ladies being brave enough to come up here. There's somebody near you that'll come with you. Oh, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Oh, God's a moving. God's a moving. Hallelujah. Would you come? Some more need to pray. Some more need to pray. You've been half-hearted about your commitment. You've been half-hearted about what you've done. You need to come and pray. You need to come and seek the Lord while he may yet be found. Death follows, but hell is on the loose as well. Hell is on the loose as well. Would you come right now? Would you pray right now? Amen. You got a question about your experience? You need to be up here. You need to be up here. Listen, don't pray half-heartedly. Don't just pray a little now, lay me down to sleep prayer. Pray up! Your eternal destiny depends upon what happens right here in this altar service. Would you come right now? Would you come right now? There's still others. There's still others, I know. Oh, I've been praying. God's a wanting more to come. God's a wanting more to come.
When the people,
oh yeah. You've been living too close to the world. You've been rebelling against what your pastor's preaching. You've been questioning God's holiness, turning away from God's authority, and in the end rejecting God's love. You need to come and make it real. Make it real tonight. Make it real today. Come on. Come on. This could be a life-changing experience. Just like it was for me. Yes, there's others. You've lagged behind. You've waited. Now you have no excuse. You're not going to be the first one. Everybody's not going to be looking at you. Nobody's going to be watching you as you walk down the aisle. You need to come right now. You have no excuse. It's time to come and pray. It's time to come and seek the Lord. Glory! Would you pray? Everybody that would, let's gather in and let's seek the Lord. Surely there's somebody up here around the altar that you can pray for. We can pray for a burden for the lost, for a tenderness about God. Maybe there's someone you know that still has not come. You might be the one that's able to say that encouraging word to get them to come and pray. Would you come and pray? Oh, yes. There's some of you that's making dedication decisions. You're wondering. I'll tell you. You get it settled today. Give your whole heart to God. Give your whole heart to God. Yes, let's turn this place into an altar service. Thank God's forgiveness. Ask God to help you. Come on. Come on, young people. Reach out to God. Put your heart in your praying. Put your heart in your praying.